Good evening. I hope you all have a wonderful afternoon rest and a nap. I did have some nap. So I want to thank Pastor Hauser again and his wife, and Miss Becky, that took me for lunch. And I thank you for the positive response after my service this morning. And I thank you that all of you expressed interest in the mission field in Thailand. So I'm very happy that I received a positive response. And at this trip, my wife is not here with me, and normally she's the one who set up the display. So I just took picture and sent to her and asked her for her comment, and she's very happy. Usually, whenever I try to set up the table and it's not in the right place, she will rearrange it again. So this time I did a perfect job, so I'm very happy. And well, tonight I have a PowerPoint presentation. Before that, I want to sing to you a hymn, Amazing Grace. This time it's going to be in Thai, not in English. Okay. So I praise the Lord for amazing grace. And before I get to my PowerPoint, I have one verse of scripture that I like so much. It's going to be from Isaiah chapter 40. So whenever I read this passage of scripture, I think of God's wonders. I think of God's magnificent grace and power. In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 12, who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured out heaven with the span and measured the dust of the earth in the measure and weighed the mountain in scale and the hills in the balance? Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord or being in his counselor had taught him? With whom took he counsel? And with whom instructed him and taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the coast as a very little thing. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Lord of hosts? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Who bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due to me is passed away from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no stretching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So praise the Lord. And this is the God who we serve. He is powerful, and he is all-knowing. So I want to begin with my PowerPoint. I don't have the pointer, but I will go ahead and say, change the slide, please. It will be okay. Okay. Well, I count it a blessing and a privilege to be here at Independent Baptist Church. Again, I want to thank Pastor Hauser for having me here to share with you my brief testimony of my ministry in Thailand. At least I share to you my heart burden and my desires of what I want to do in Bangkok. My goal is to plant a church in Bangkok, and I want to be involved in discipleship training for leaderships. And I praise the Lord. And currently, I'm on full-time staff until this past Friday. I quit the job. I leave the job. But I told the boss there, Mr. Mike Bolvin, Mr. Dave Rishi, about 6 months ago that once I reach 50%, I will leave the job and I will be on full-time deputations. So this could be my next step and next phase of life. It's going to be in full-time deputations. And I see myself. By this time, next year, I see myself in Thailand. I want to bring the gospel to the Thai people. And as I mentioned to you earlier this morning, my sending church is Grace Bible Church. It's located in Greenville, South Carolina, and my mission board is Biblical Ministry Worldwide. They are very excited to partner with us as we obey and serve him in Bangkok, Thailand. And this is my wife. I don't know why my face looks like that. Okay. All right. My wife and I, we were both born in Bangkok, Thailand. Neither of us grew up in a Christian home. We came from a non-Christian family. But God used people in our teen years to bring us to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we were to live in Thailand, I believe we will never, ever come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ like we have heard here in America. I believe it's God's providence that God brought me here to the state. I was exposed to Christianity when I was at the age of five. I remember a Christian lady, because my dad, he came to the state to pursue higher education. He was funded by the Thai government to do his PhD in agriculture, soil science, biochemistry at LSU. And he was a professor there for many years, and he retired several years ago. My dad, he's 83, and my mom is 78. Both of them are Christians. I tried to witness to them many, many years. I was the firstborn in the family. I was the first one in the family. I was the first person in the family who accepted Jesus Christ. And then after that, I began to share to my mom and my dad. At first, they like me to go to church, but they don't want me to become a Christian. So I began to persist and pray for them. It took me many, many years until God finally answered my prayer. And they got baptized by water immersion. Now, they are excited to see me that I want to go back to Thailand. He said, Arush, even though we are not good in health-wise, but we are proud of you that you go back to Thailand, preach the gospel to the Thai people. So I praised the Lord. And on October 25th, 1985, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I commit my life to God's service, to serve him for the rest of my life. Well, I went on to study as a pre-med at LSU for 2 years, but I feel no peace. I was studying science because my dad is a doctor and my mom is a nurse, and they want me as an eldest boy to study as to become a doctor. But God had me in different directions to be a preacher in Thailand. Okay, next slide, please. Well, before coming to Bob Jones University, I used to help assist the pastor of the Thai Outreach Church, a Baptist church in Pasadena, California. It's near Los Angeles, in preaching and teaching for 4 years. So that was in 2006. My family, my wife and my daughter, we flew from Thailand to Pasadena, and we were living in the church compound there. So they graciously provide a housing for us. So we lived there for 4 years. And at the same time, we were helping the church in preaching and teaching. I was also helping the church in itinerant preaching among the Thai churches there in Los Angeles and San Diego. And this is going to be the Bangkok Bible College and Seminary. This is where I did my master's degree. The seminary has trained hundreds of Christians from all over Thailand in church ministry and leadership training. And currently, the seminary has enrolled more than 200 students and is the largest full-time conservative Christian education and discipleship training center in Bangkok. But you know, even though there are many students there, but it's not from Bangkok. They're not Bangkokian. They're from the tribal. Because most of the Christian in Thailand is 0.58%, lesser than 1%. But, you know, from that small percentage of Christianity in Thailand, majority of the Christians are not in Bangkok, in a big city, they're in a mountain of the tribal people. Because when the head of the family accepted Christ, you know, the whole clan and the whole family accepted Jesus Christ. But once, because when missionaries come to Thailand, they don't want to base themselves in Bangkok, in a big city with the pollution, with hot weather. They want to go where up north, where the nice and people really convert easily up there. Okay, next slide. And this is the church that I was telling you about. My dad and my mom accepted Christ in this picture. And the far back, if you can see, it's very tiny. It's going to be my picture up there. I know you cannot see. And it's going to be the Thai Outreach Church in Pasadena. So I grew up from this church, and I'm glad that my mom and my dad accepted Christ here, and they got baptized by water immersions. So I praise the Lord for this church. Next slide, please. In 2016, I graduated from Bob Jones University with a degree of a doctor of ministry, and the middleman there is the president of the seminary of the university, Bob Jones. And the left side, not change it, it's going to be my daughter, and dad and daughter graduated on the same day. So we were very happy because we worked hard to earn our degree. So remember the first job that I work on Bob on the campus is working on ground, and I moved to work in the custodials, and I also work in a dining common, and I got promotion, become a staff at the BJU print shops, and I worked there for 3 years. So I praise the Lord that Friday was my last day, but I feel like, you know, I'm becoming part of the family there. And it's going to be my dad and my mom. They came to my graduations. I just want to tell them that they are a believer, professed Christian in Christ Jesus. And my mom's health is not good. Health-wise, is not good. And last year, during Thanksgiving and Christmas, I visited her 3 times to give her encouragement And every day I will FaceTime to her, I will read to her the scriptures, and I will sing to her hymns, what I have sung to you. And she said, you know, she feel like she'd been lifted up spiritually because I gave her the word of God. And I praise the Lord for them. Okay, the next slide. And the title of my dissertation is A Manual for Evangelism and Discipleship Among the Middle Class Thai Buddhists for Western Missionary. In this paper, I address three issues, the issue of culture, religion, and worldview. This manual is going to be helpful for missionaries or anyone who is interested to engage in cross-cultural ministry. And this manual will be helpful for them to have a better understanding of the Thai culture and Thai religion. And this manual is also going to be applicable not only in the Thai culture, but also in the neighboring country of Thailand, like Khmer or Laos, because the culture and the behavior and the norms are very similar to the Thai cultures. I believe that missionaries coming to Thailand, once they raise support and come to Thailand, they got to learn the language. And for them to master the Thai language, it will take them 5 years, and some of them take 10 years. But praise the Lord, I was born and raised in Thailand. I know the Thai culture and the Thai language already, so I don't have to learn all of that. So I praise the Lord for that. So next slide. Thailand was known to the world as Siam until 1936. I believe the fifth king, he came to the state, and the ninth king, he was born in Massachusetts. And he wanted to turn Thailand to be a modern state. So that's why they changed Siam to Thailand. Next slide. If you ever watched the movie Anna and the King of Siam or The King and I, this movie tells you something about the Thai culture. We still have now the king. They see the king as a godlike figure. They cannot sit on the same level with the king. Even that, they cannot. They have to prostrate on the floor with the wine. They got to bow down very, very low in Thailand, so because they see them as a godlike figure. But at the same time, the king has a unifying influence in the people. They unify the country of Thailand, become one as a Thai people. Okay, the next slide, please. Okay, Thailand is called the land of smiles because of the friendliness and because of the smile nature of the people. And Thailand is called the land of the free because Thailand has never been colonized by Western nations. Many neighboring countries that surround Thailand, many of them have been colonized by Western powers, like Laos by France, Indonesia by the Dutch, and India by the Britain. But Thailand somehow has never been colonized by the Western powers. So that's why we still stick to our rich cultural heritage. That's why we still, all of Thai people, they have that Thai language. Okay, next slide, please. There's some theory that the Thai people are from the Yunnan province of the southern part of China, and later they migrate down to the southern region in Southeast Asia of Thailand. The people who live then in Thailand were the Khmer and the Mon. They are very animistic. So when the Thai people who live in China migrate down, they adopted the animistic religion and the culture. And later you will find out that the Thai people also adopt the culture of India. So Thailand is a multicultural people because the food and the people, they adopt from China and India and the Khmer and Mon there as well. Okay, next slide, please. And Thailand is at the equator. It's just opposite where I'm from. And people say, how far is from here to Thailand? Well, last December, I visited Thailand for the first time in 10 years. And I flew from Chicago to Hong Kong. That took me 16 hours. I just say to myself, it's just like working at a print shop 2 days, 8 hours a day, 16 hours. You get up and they give you food and tea and coffee, and you sleep and you get up and they give you food. It's like this for 16 hours. And Thailand is near the equator. That means we have three seasons in Thailand. We have hot, hotter and hottest. And there is no snow. At one time, you know, they say there's going to be a snow in northern part of Thailand. So everybody were excited, you know, to see that Thailand is going to have snow. And lo and behold, there's no snow, you know. Okay, so that's why I'm very happy to be here in Pennsylvania to see snow. So I took a lot of video. And the neighboring countries that share a land border with Thailand are Singapore, Myanmar, Laos, and Cambodia. And to the east side is going to be Myanmar, or previously known to us as Burma. So the Asian country is just like we call it a seven economy. They try to, like, you have the UN that come together. We also, the Asian countries, we also come together economically in Thailand too. Okay, next slide, please. In 1837, Maitri Chit, Chinese Baptist Church, was the first Protestant church in Thailand. But I would say this is going to be the first Chinese church in Asia, I found out. I did some research because the first the missionary in the mid-1800s from the Baptist from England and from one country, Poland, want to come to Thailand. They want to go to Asia, but they are to China, but they don't have access. So they reached the Chinese people in Thailand, waiting for them to have a way open up for them to go to China. So they reached the Chinese people in Thailand. So this is going to be the first church in Thailand. But you know, the Catholic came first in Thailand in the mid-1500s, but most of them are social work. And we have two branches of what they call Protestant. We have Christianity in Thailand, as the Thai people see it, the Catholic and the Protestant. They cannot differentiate between the Catholic and the Protestants because they see all the Catholic and the Protestant under the same umbrella as Christianity. So when I go to the Thai people and I tell them the good news and hand out tract, you know, they don't see me as a minister, but they see me as a priest. They say, hey, priest, here comes the priest. But I say, I'm not a priest, but you know, that's what their perception of me. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, Christianity came to Thailand in the early, about 200 years ago, but we still see a very small growth of Christianity in Thailand. We see so little of Thai Buddhists committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are about 370,000 Protestant Christians in Thailand. So I mentioned again, it's 0.58%, which are lesser than 1%. And Christianity has been mostly accepted among the marginalized tribal people and not the Thai Buddhist majority in Bangkok. So Christianity has been in the tribals. And Buddhism is 93%, Christianity is 0.58%, and Muslim is 5.8%. I believe one of the reasons why there's so many Thai Christian nominals in Thailand, because the Thai Christian do not take the gospel or discipleship seriously because of the trait, because of their natures. They want to take life it easy. You know, might be right, no problems. When they come to Christ, they want to take it easy, and they want to see everything as fun in life, so they don't take the gospel and discipleship seriously. Okay, next slide. At present, ordained Buddhist monks number more than 200,000, and novices number 85,000. So we see that every morning, just before dawn, you see the monk walk the streets around their temples, and people line up the street, you know, to offer food to the monk. The monk, you know, they got to get up every morning, early morning, about 3 o'clock, and they have to meditate from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. every morning, and then after that, they will go around their temples, the neighborhood, the villages, to arming. And they come back, and they have their breakfast, and after that, they will meditate some more until noon, and they have lunch, and in afternoon, they could do some good deeds, you know, sweeping the floor in the temple. This is going to be the daily routine of the monk in Thailand. So most of their time consuming is in meditations and also like that. Okay, next slide, please. Nearly 29,000 what? A Buddhist temple exists throughout Thailand. Every village and town in Thailand, there's a temple. Not like here in the state. In the state, everywhere you go, you see church and churches. But in Thailand, you cannot see church. You see temple and temple everywhere. In Bangkok, in a big city, in a high-rising building, in a big city like Bangkok, you see churches all over. So temple is the center of the community of the people. That's where they come for wedding, they come to ask counseling from the monk when they have festivals, the New Year's. The temple is going to be the center of the community there, that whole spirituality to nourish the spiritual of the Thai people and to receive Buddhist instruction to the Thai people. Next slide, please. And, you know, one can find in nearly every Thai house compound a spiritual house. In Thailand, we call it San Praphum, meaning that, you know, it's usually no bigger than a bird cage. People just bring incense and food to them. They believe that the spirit is residing in this spirit house. Spirit house are so essential to the Thai people that they can be found in most marketplaces, in the bank, in the school, in the commercial buildings. So they have that in the front of the house. And before they leave to the home, they will offer food to the idol there. Okay, next slide, please. And this is going to be, you know, most Thai people, they wear amulets and charms to ward off evil and to be protected from misfortunes, and they wear amulets around the neck and charms around the wrist, which they believe it contains power, and to give them good fortunes. I believe as a mark of a genuine conversion, the Thai Christian should throw away all of this, all objects of idol worship, because of submission and lordship to the lordship of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So many times when I witnessed to the Thai people and many of them come to faith, I told them that, you know, you must voluntarily throw away all idols and to follow Christ. But I'm not going to force them to do it. I'm going to tell them to do it. And I will let them make up their mind. Because if you force them to do it and they're not willing to do it, and they throw away, and when they backslide, they will come and blame us. So I will teach them and I will guide them. I will tell them what to do, but they will have to willingly and voluntarily throw away by their own. Okay, next picture, please. Today, Thailand is a world center of Buddhist activities and studies. We have two branches of Buddhism. We have the Theravada Buddhism. That's where we have in Sri Lanka and Burma and Thailand. It's Theravada Buddhism. They believe this branch of Buddhism is a pure form of Buddhism. Theravada Buddhism, branch of Buddhism, that's why you see the skinny Buddha. And the second branches of Buddhism, we have the Mahayana Buddhism. Most of them are in China, Japan, and Korea. They see Buddhism as a principle of life. That's where you see the big fat Buddha. People ask me, what is the difference between the fat Buddha and the skinny Buddha? I told them that the big fat Buddha live in Japan, in China, but the skinny Buddha, they live in Thailand. So this can be the world center for Buddhist activities and study. Okay, next slide, please. This is going to be the Erawan Shrine in downtown Bangkok, named after the Brahma three-headed elephant, which they believe it brings good luck. Many years ago, they were a big bomb, and they found out it was an act of terrorists in Bangkok ever happened, and it killed about 100 or 200 tourists, mostly targeting the tourists in Thailand, because the terrorists want to destroy the economy of Thailand. You know, today we have many nominal Thai Buddhists. They don't believe all of Buddha teaching, and they don't, you know, practice philosophical Buddhism. They see Buddhism, they regard Buddhism as a moralistic guideline for living their life. You know, they go to temple when they're born, and they go to temple again, they have wedding and die. But they come to Buddha just to ask for blessing. They don't want to, because the Thai people are becoming more materialistic. They want to get the blessing, but they don't want to know the teaching of Buddha. The teaching of Buddha really, you know, is the full Eightfold Path and the Middle Path. Okay, next picture, please. And the current expression of Thai Buddhism, Thai religion is intricately mixed with Hindu Brahmanism, animism, and ancestor worship, which is called Thai folk Buddhism or Thai practical Buddhism. So Thai Buddhism is not a pure, it's not a real pure Buddhist religion. It's a Thai version. It's a Buddhism because it's mixed with Hinduism and ancestor worship and animism. Animism is a belief that the spirit is in the rock and in the wood, in everything. Even they see a log, you know, just floating on the river, strange-looking log, and they will pick it up and worship it as God. And they believe that the spirit of their deceased parents, their spirit is still roaming around. So the Thai people, they are living out of this fear of spirit. They don't want to displease, or they don't want to do something bad to the spirit. They want to honor the spirit. So the Thai people have this constant fear of spirit, so they got to worship and ask protection from the idols all the time. So I believe if you want to effectively evangelize with the Thai people, you get to know the Thai folk Buddhism. What is their belief? I think the best way to learn about the Thai people or any culture is to spend time with them. Okay, next picture, please. The concept of karma and merit have dominated the spiritual life of most Thai Buddhists. Karma is the belief that every action has its consequences, not only in this life, but also in the next life. So karma have deeply embedded in the foundation of Thai Buddhism. You know, in Thailand, there's no word for forgiveness. They believe that their fate, that they are born poor, their faith that they are born as a prostitute, they say there's no way out, no rescue. They have to accept their fate. But we can tell through the Thai people that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ loved them. And you don't have to be in your situation like you are being right now, because their concept of karma and merit. Okay, next slide, please. Today, Thailand is a constitution monarchy with the prime minister as the head of the government. He is the ninth king, and he was the longest reigning king at the time, 70 years. I believe now Queen Elizabeth is reigned longer than him. But, you know, when the ninth king passed away, the Thai people hold a mourning period for a year. All Thai people, 70 million people, they wore black because they feel like they lose their father. They see the king as a godlike figure, and they revere him. They respect him so much. So when he died or passed away, their feeling were in suspension, you know, for a long time. But now the crown prince has replaced him as the 10th king of Thailand. Okay, next slide, please. And today, the Thai people are becoming more open and receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and missionaries have the freedom to preach in public places. Providentially, there has been no persecution of Christians in Thailand. But you know, many Thai Christians receive pressure from their family members, and still they receive misunderstanding from friends, even being mistreated as someone who has abandoned his or her own culture and religions. As I mentioned to you this morning, it's not easy for one in Thailand to come to faith in Christ Jesus because it will count something on their part. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the Thai greeting when meeting one another by saying Swadee Krap for male and Swadee Ka for female. So I want to teach you Thai and let you practice. All the guys say Swadee Krap. All right, you say very good. And all the ladies, Swadee Ka. Oh, wonderful. Praise the Lord. And next slide, please. So usually a younger person would greet the older person. Never an older person greet the younger. But whenever the younger greet the older person, the older person will wave back or not. It also depends on him. But always the younger person will greet the older person by slightly bowing one head and bringing one hand together at the level of the shin and bowing down like this to show respect and friendliness to the people. I remember when I was in Thailand, before I leave to school, I will put on the student uniform, and before I leave the home, I will put down my bag and do this to my parents. And when I arrive school, the teacher will be waiting at the front entrance gate. I will put down my bag and do this to them again. So the Thai people are respectful to their teachers, to the elders and parents. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the young people in Thailand are taught to give special respect to those of higher social status, as well to parents, teachers, and elders. And the Thai family, you know, is built on strong bond of reciprocal responsibility between parents and teachers, between parents and children. That's why there's no nursing home in Thailand, because the elderly, you know, their parents, they will take care of them in their house. And there's immediate family, the grandpa, grandma, and the children, and the grandchildren, they all live in one household. And the elders, all the children will take care of them because of the nature of the Thai people to take care of their elders. Okay, next slide, please. Thai language is a very tonal language. It's like Chinese. It's one of the most difficult languages to learn besides Chinese. I can say one word is pronounced the same, but it has different meaning. I will say this like this. Khao, 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 khao. Khao is mean knee. Khao is mean them. Khao is mean horn. Khao is mean in. Khao is mean white. And khao is mean rice. Khao, 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 khao. Okay, all the vowels. And we have 44 letters alphabet. And there are 32 vowels and 5 tones. We have middle, high, low, or rising and falling in Thailand. So when the Thai people are speaking to each other, they like it sounds like they're singing a song to each other. But when you see the Chinese speaking to each other, it's just like they want to get in the fight because it's very aggressive. But the Thai tonal is very like they're singing a song. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the Thai population is 69 million people, and this picture was taken in a Chinatown. We have a Chinese presence in Thailand. The Chinese, they're everywhere, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, and they are the ones who hold the economy, even in Bangkok, Thailand. They are running the business, and sometimes they have influence over the government because they have money. And the next picture, please. And Thailand divide approximately into 5% upper class, 35% middle class, and 60% poor. So the majority of Thailand is still poor. They are agrarian in a farmer, and 35% the middle class, most of them live in the big city like Bangkok. And the 5%, maybe they are the king line or the military lines, the official line, they're the 5% upper class. They have the inheritance, they have the land and everything. So people ask me, do Thailand have a caste system like in India? No. Thailand does not have a caste system. I used to live in India for 2 years. They have a Dalit. But in Thailand, we have something like people who are, the monk is over the king and the military and the commoner and the poor people. But we have a social class hierarchy there, but not what they call definitely divided like in India. Okay, next slide, please. And today, the Thailand are becoming more materialistic, and the lifestyle of Thai society is changing. I visited Bangkok, Thailand last year, which I haven't visited for 10 years, but I visited last year, but I see a huge difference in Thailand. You know, the city and the road is all changes because I cannot recognize it. And people behavior is changing. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, and all the time on the train, in the sky train, they're looking at the phone. So, you know, it's just like the teenagers here in America. Okay, next slide, please. And Bangkok population is 8.5 million, with around 14 to 15 million people living in the greater Bangkok metropolitan. You know, the book of the Bible, the Old Testament Bible that I love to read is Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, to that great city, but Jonah, he disobeyed God. He went into the opposite directions to Joppa, but lo and behold, God sent a big storm to get his attention. So in verse chapter 2, Jonah, he cried out to the Lord. In the midst of the depth of the sea, I cried out to you. And God, in chapter 3, gave Noah, Jonah, the second chance. So the whale just spewed him out on land, and God told Jonah, go and tell the good news, what I have bidden you to do. And in chapter 4, we see the whole nation, from the greatest of them to the least of them, put on sackcloth and ashes, crying out mightily to God and the whole nation, except the Christ. I think the book of Jonah is telling us that, you know, God, he is a love of love. And this city of Bangkok is a great city. So we can cry out to this great city lost in sin, that there is a God creator of the universe. And I want to obey God's call. I can, as I mentioned to you this morning, I can stay here in America, and I can live in a very good life, but I believe God has a calling on my life to return back to Thailand. So I want to tell the people, I want to plant a church here in the heart of Bangkok, right there, 8.5 million people. Okay, next slide. And it's going to be the traffic in Thailand, in Bangkok, in the rush hour in the morning, in the evening. But during the daytime, the traffic is going smoother. You know, sometimes they have a lot of scooter. I found out sometimes walking is faster than, you know, taking a bus because the traffic is so bad and the bus just go 1 inch at a time. It's very slow. And, you know, just for a mile, it takes you 3 or 4 hours just to commute in 1 mile. So the traffic in Bangkok is that bad. That's why, next slide. And this is going to be in downtown of Bangkok. And next slide, please. And the Thai economy is going to be it's an emerging economy with tourism and export as a driving force of the Thai economy. We have a lot of investors from Japan and Germany and invest in Thailand, like Nokia camera and BMW car, because of the cheap labor there in Thailand and very skillful worker there, so they invested in Thailand. So that's going to be the main economy of Thailand, export and tourism. And next slide, please. And it's going to be a floating market. That's where people sell and buy. I visited last time in December, and it attract a lot of tourists. And next slide. And this is going to be some of the beaches in Thailand, and people come to Thailand because the beaches there are well known. And next slide. And in 2016, Thailand, Bangkok was the world's most popular city for travelers, with an estimated 22 million people come to Thailand. They say it's going to be exceeding London, 22 million people coming to Thailand because of the friend of the people and the nature. And next slide. And I believe this is going to be in northeast of Thailand. The elephant can play soccer. And next slide. And the elephant even can draw pictures too. Next slide. Okay, I tell you all the beautiful side of Thailand, but there's also a dark side of Thailand too, because of the rapid social economy growth has produced a new obvious social problems. And the most obvious social problems in Thailand are prostitution, drug trafficking, and the resulting HIV/AIDS epidemic. So I was discussing this with Pastor Hauser. I told him that, you know, sometimes the government aware of the problems, but the police and the military, they are behind the drug trafficking too, because it generates lots of revenue to the Thai people. Because remember that the two economy booster in Thailand are export and tourism. And tourism is going to be drug trafficking and prostitution in Thailand. And most Thai people don't want to say this because, you know, I can be in trouble because I'm here in the state. I can tell you that, you know. And according to the 2006 survey, 30,000 adult males and 2.5 million adult females and 1.1 million boys and girls under the age of 18 are lured into this sex industry. It's a big industry in Thailand, drug and sex industry. Up north, we have the Golden Triangles, where Thailand, with the Mekong River that connected Laos and Burma together, that's going to be the drug trafficking right there in the Mekong River. So please pray for Thailand in this regard. And next slide, I'm going to end very soon, and after that I have a Q&A. And it's where I live, in First Longview Court in Greenville, South Carolina. If you come, I will more than welcome you, host you, and cook you Thai food. Okay, next slide. I praise the Lord that about 5 years ago, we became a U.S. citizens. Now we hold dual citizenship, American and Thai. And actually, we have the third citizenship, is the Heavenly Kingdom. And I praise the Lord. We love America very much. And the United States has become our home. But, you know, God has called me to go to Thailand. So I praise the Lord. And next slide, and that's my wife. About 3 years ago, you know, every Christmas, I will visit my parents and my brothers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, during Christmas. And the middle brother, he accepted Christ. And for many years, I witnessed to him about the gospel, and he showed no signs of interest. But that year, during Christmas, I know God maybe put a tumor in his back, and he somehow had this fear of death grip upon him. And when he saw me, he both said, "Brother, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. What must I do to get saved?" So I led him in a sinner prayer, and he accepted Christ. And my dad, and my mom, and my daughter, I prayed for him a sinner prayer. We all wept and cried and rejoicing. And now he's a strong Christian. And one day he told me, "Brother, I want to be a missionary like you. I want to go to Thailand and spread the gospel." Praise the Lord. Okay, next slide. I think this will be the last one. Well, thank you so much for your interest in us and in our ministry. And I thank you so much. And our desires is to reach the Thai people with the gospel according to the Great Commission that I shared with you this morning in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. And I have maybe 5 minutes, Pastor, for an Q&A. Well, don't be shy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I have my aunt, my uncle, they're in Thailand, but they are not Christians. I witnessed to them many times, but they see Christianity as a religion of foreigners. They thought I have been brainwashed. Why become you a Buddhist? And why don't you live in the state? Why you come back to Thailand? But this time when I go back, I want to witness to them again about Christ. Yes. How many of you here have eaten Thai food before? Oh, what? Because yeah, Timber, you have a Thai wife. He Nok Noi. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad I was chatting with her in Thai. I was surprised. Well, she was surprised to see me. You know, she didn't know in advance that they're going to be a Thai speaker today. And I was surprised to see her too, but you know, God somehow put us together, connected us together. And I told her that next time when I come here, I bring my wife and we can get together and have some Thai food. Maybe one more question. Well, thank you, Pastor Hauser, so much, and thank you so much, and may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for having me here and share with you about the Thai people and culture. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Pastor.
Thank you, Aruj.